Welcome to the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast, presented by 13 Fishing Canada. Make your own luck. We're here to scratch that angling itch and talk everything fishing. Join us as we sit down with special guests from across the industry. Now, here's your hosts, Brandon Cater and Logan Lewis.
Well, welcome to the very first episode of 2022 for the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast. For all you who have been listening, we started up right at the start of 2021 pretty well, and we are very happy to have made it into 2022. It's definitely been a good time, like we said in our closing episode of last year, and I think we're kicking it off pretty strong here with the interview we have today. But before we tease that, how are you doing, Brandon?
Man, I'm doing good. I'm excited. 2022's got some big things in store. I hope for all of you listeners, I hope you got a lot of big goals and things planned for this new year. I know we do. Hopefully we can achieve a lot of them. But yeah, I mean, really, first things first, we ran a huge holiday giveaway with JP Adventure Rentals over the holiday season through Christmas, New Year's. In the last episode, we announced a winner, and that was Jay Deleuze, I think his last name was. So we reached out to Jay after that episode, after we announced our winner, and Jay talked it over with his wife and decided that they probably aren't going to use the package. So that put us in a situation where we needed to pick a new winner. So what we did is we sent Jay a 13 fishing package. We sent him a rod and some other products, and he was happy just to get something, which we thought he should get something as the rightful winner of the initial prize. And then we ended up drawing a new winner, and we reached out to the winner already just to make sure that he was going to use it. And, obviously he was super excited to hear that he was the winner after probably listening to that past episode and hearing someone else won the prize. But our winner was from Instagram at M Turchet, I think. So Matt Turchet, I think that was his name. So congratulations, Matt. He's aware of his prize. He's reached out to Joby at JP Adventure Rentals already, and he's got no time limit on when he needs to use it, but basically he won $1,200 in value of renting a brand new snowmobile, ATV, aluminum trailers, you name it. I mean, Joby's even got boats, so that's $1,200 that Matt can put towards any kind of adventure he wants.
That's pretty awesome. I know I'd be pretty happy to get that. That's a huge part, especially if you want to do some pretty cool trip up north, or even with actually the snow we've had down south here. This has been... it's been kind of nice. I enjoy the snow personally, so it's been kind of nice to see how much snowfall we got into the new year here. So definitely something that'll be useful for early a weekend out on the water.
Yeah, no, for sure. Most snow we've had in recent years, so not a bad year to win a snowmobile or ATV prize. Yeah. With that being said, congratulations to him, and obviously we're super excited to announce that, you know, JP Adventure Rentals, Joby over there, has hopped on with the boys here at the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast for the year 2022. So they're going to be a sponsor for the show, and we are more than excited to have them on board. Joby's just a great guy, obviously. Has a great service. He's rented a lot of boats over the summer, and now obviously he's offering a lot of other rentals as well. So I'm super excited to announce that we have him on board, as well as our other four sponsors from 2021. They all signed on with us for 2021 or for 2022 in the new year here. And we couldn't be more excited to be, representing and having those brands and companies on board with Weekend Warriors.
Yeah, again. No, for sure. So I guess, if any of you have listened, I'm sure you've heard a lot of times, but big shout out to 13 Fishing for coming on again as a presenting sponsor, Sask Wildlife Federation, which we will be re-upping our memberships right away here in the new year. And then also got Blackfish Gear hopping on again. And then last but not least, Lucky Bastard Distillers, which I still have to deliver the previous package from the giveaway to Carson Bell. We had some COVID in the house, so I didn't want to go and hand it over there. So now that that's all done and clear, he'll be getting his package pretty soon.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, we did a ton of giveaways in 2021, and look forward to doing a lot more in 2022 as well. So if you aren't following us on social media, go do so. Give us a follow, a like, what have you, and keep your eyes peeled for a lot of giveaways. Yeah,
and I guess we should probably, before we play our ad for Lucky Bastard, we should probably tease who we've got coming up, eh?
Yeah, super exciting. I'm so fired up when he said, yeah, let's do it. Doug Wagner, he's a fairly large name down there in the Midwest. Fishing guide, he has a YouTube channel, not only in the States there, but he also does stuff up here in Canada. And just a super interesting guy, super, super good interview. I loved every minute of it. It was super fun. Yeah. So
lots of minutes of it, too.
I just said super a lot. Yeah, there's a super, super lot minutes, yeah. Too.
No, and that's one thing we kind of want to mention. This is probably going to be a two-part episode just with how long the interview was. We were lucky enough to sit down with him for, I think, almost an hour and a half, which once you add the intro and outro, that almost becomes a two-hour episode. So I think we're going to put it into two parts. So this is going to be part one of that interview.
There are certain moments in life that really stick with you. This is definitely one of them. The thrill of the dill, my friends, is not a myth.
Prohibition is over, Saskatchewan. Ask about LB's legendary Birmingham's Dill Pickle Vodka. After all, it's not a party until someone pulls out the pickle. Tours and tastings available. Call or stop by 814 47th Street East. And tonight, why not mix your Caesar with some lucky bastard?
It's the one with the pickle in it.
So yeah, if you're looking for any discounts, head down to the show notes below. We have discount codes for 13 Fishing, Blackfish Gear, and Lucky Bastard Distillers. So go grab yourself some gear, some vodka, whatever you need. Take advantage of these discount codes. They don't hand them out often, so this is our treat to you. So yeah, let's jump right into the interview. All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast, and we have another exciting episode coming your way. We're fortunate enough to sit down with Doug Wagner, a walleye, muskie, a multi-species stick. I mean, Doug, you got a lot of fishing experience. When I see your name or I hear your name, I always think big muskie, just because that's what your social media is absolutely just plastered with, big musky photos. So I'm sure we'll get into a little bit of that, but welcome to the podcast, and maybe take a chance to introduce yourself.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I guess most people think of me as a musky guy, and I guess I'm kind of partial to that just due to the fact that they are my favorite. They're what I spend my most time doing. Being a full-time guide, I've been able to kind of, move my business the last few years to focus towards that, and I don't have to do so much of the bass and walleye stuff. But basically, once muskie season opens, I'm full-blown muskies. But before that, I mean, I absolutely love spring walleye fishing, pre-spawn fishing, and then smallmouth bass stuff is awesome as well. And I don't really enjoy ice fishing, but my favorite sort of ice fishing is lake trout. And I get up to Northwestern Ontario to do that. But yeah, muskies are definitely my favorite. That's what I'm best known for. But yeah, I'm just happy to be here, and thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you say you don't really like ice fishing, I mean, a lot of people that are going to be tuning in, they're hardcore ice anglers. Us up here in Canada, it's 6 or 7 months out of the year for us. When you say you don't really like ice fishing, is it just because of the cold?
It's not so much the cold, it's the lack of mobility. That's what drives me nuts. So like being able to fish out of a boat, and I live in a boat. From the middle of March is when I start guiding in a boat, and I don't end till like the middle of December. Like I will drive to go find open water and continue to fish out of my boat. I don't want to say easier, but it's easier to be more mobile. And ice fishing is just such a pain to pick up your stuff, move, drill a hole. Like you're constricted to a 10-inch hole or an 8-inch hole, right? I mean, you can move and hop around, but I just feel so much more effective on the water when I'm in my boat. And I guess it's probably part of just my own mental stake of like me always wanting to be as efficient as possible. And, fishing is my job. And I feel like if I'm not being successful, like the day was a failure. My wife always gets on me for that because I get crabby sometimes when things aren't going right. But like, you just need to like chill and take this all in. Like, we're having fun. This is fishing. Like, fishing is fun. Yeah. You don't have to catch to have fish. Like, well, or, catch to have fun. But for me, I don't know. Maybe I take it too serious. I know I take it too seriously, but anyways, that's my take on it. Ice fishing is cool. I used to do it a ton as a kid. It probably used to be my favorite fishing until I was able to, financially get a boat. And now guiding full time. It's just, it's my favorite place to be in the world.
Right. So I guess you said that you'll try and find open water until basically into December.
Yeah. So this year, I think my last day open water fishing was like December 9th.
Oh, wow.
And we're still musky fishing then. And last year, well, I mean, I had some family stuff last year. I couldn't get out as early as normal, but normally, I'll take my boat out on Lake Michigan, like not the Green Bay section, but actually like Lake, the bottom part, Lake Michigan, yeah, for some salmon and or for some trout stuff. And like the end of February, just kind of get the new boat in the water, get the kinks worked out and the electronics, and then make sure everything's good to go. Because I normally start guiding like March 20th is when I start booking trips.
Okay.
And I normally have a few days I go out before that just to kind of see what the fish are doing and whatever, scratch the itch with some buddies. Because once work starts, there's not a whole lot of time to fish with the boys or with my wife.
Yeah, no doubt there. I know just some of the guys we've talked to or that we've gone fishing with, it's not as glamorous as one thinks right on the surface, right? What everyone thinks, oh, you get to fish for a living, which is awesome, right? But the amount, I don't think people realize the amount of time and work that actually goes into a day for you, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a total blessing to be able to fish every day, but at the same time, like, I fish with my friends and my buddies like maybe 10 days a year. I mean, if people think about that, like, I mean, I guess I fish my wife quite a bit, or as much as I can, but luckily now, like in the last 4 years of doing business, I've got some amazing customers that have just turned into really good friends, and they book trips. It's like going fishing with buddies, but at the same time, like this last spring, I had 2 days off because of a cancellation, and I fished with my buddy Hoyer for a day, and we went and crushed a bunch of smallmouth, and then I went and fished my buddy Corey for a day, and we went and caught a bunch of bass, and it was like, wow, like this is like really nice to just fish with some boys and not working. Because I mean, in order to make it financially as a fishing guide, like it is 7 days a week,
mm-hmm.
every single day. I mean, you can get by working 4 or 5 days a week, but I like toys. I like to be able to go places and do things and have nice equipment. So for me at this point, it's 7 days a week. I think I ran like 215 guide trips this last year or something. And I'm like so awesome. Like I've got such a great customer base now. I think I counted yesterday just to see what I was thinking about, like 206 trips booked for this coming season. Like I have next to zero availability for next year. So
wow.
Business That's is exceptional.
Good. Business is good is what I'm getting at. But yeah, a fishing guide is not what it's all cracked up to be. Especially musky stuff. Like a lot of my days are an 8-hour trip in the morning, an 8-hour trip in the afternoon. And like my August and September are normally like 110 to 115 hours a week.
Wow.
Those are 16-hour days, and then you're not even, you know, taking into consideration.
That's just fishing. Yeah, you got to get to the launch.
That's just fishing.
Go home, maybe take a shower.
That's not rigging or preparing for the days or nothing, eh? Like, that's actually exceptional. But, like, when you say you're a fishing guide, like, you're just open water. You don't do any, obviously, you're not a huge hard water fan, so you don't do any ice fishing guiding at all?
Right. Well, that's the other reason why I work 7 days a week, is so I don't have to work. I don't have to guide ice fishing.
Right.
So I work my butt off all summer, and then I can just kind of kick back and do stuff like this. Or like I just came from a sports show, the Chicago Muskie Show, do that stuff, a little bit of ice fishing. You know, I think me and my wife are going to Costa Rica here in a couple weeks. So just kind of kick back, relax, and get ready for the coming year. I mean, the business never stops, right? Like you're always like ordering a new boat, new electronics, new graphs, new rods, new tackle, like nothing stops. It's just the fishing that stops. The business always has to keep going.
Right. And I guess a little side note here, you said you're going to Costa Rica. Are you taking any rods?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You can't go to Costa Rica and not fish. I've never been. My wife's been there once, but I talked to my buddies at Rapala today. And they've been there quite a few times, and they're like, dude, you need like these baits, these rods, this reel. I'm like, all right, I'm in, I'm buying it.
Right. Yeah. I should have
like $1,000 gone. Like, damn.
Yeah. I did that. We were there just before COVID, with my family, and I brought a bait casting setup and a spin setup, and, just kind of obviously do yourself off the rocks around the beach and stuff. And I was very surprised, I guess, how well I was able to do. I guess it is the ocean, right? There's tons of fish there too, but I was going to say, I definitely recommend it. And I didn't even know what kind of fish they were actually that I was catching. Don't know if they were poisonous or whatnot, but anyways, they were probably the size of like a nice, like some of them were the size of like a nice yellow perch, And the fight they put up was seemingly harder than like a 6-7 pound walleye. It seemed like it was just, it was too much fun. So I was going to say, I'd suggest doing that.
Yeah.
Everything's on steroids in the salt water.
Oh yeah. It's not even fair. Whatever.
Yeah. No, that was a little side note, but we can get back to the main part.
But speaking of boat, I mean, I've been following you on social media for a while, and I just saw in your story, I don't know if it was a couple days ago or if it was yesterday, but you just bought back your first boat.
Yeah.
Was that your first boat?
That was the first boat I bought. Yeah. So I bought back the first boat I ever bought. So when I think I was 20, I bought a boat. I bought a 205 Triton DC. It's a fiberglass boat. It's a 20.5 foot boat. I found it on Walleye Central or someplace online for $16,000. And it was just an absolute steal. And at the job, at the time I worked a construction job, and like I needed a boat. I needed a boat. But I didn't want to, like, if I was going to get one, I wanted to be a decent one. I lived 2 hours from Green Bay at the time. Like, I wanted to be able to fish big water. I didn't want like a 16 foot skiff, right? Like, I wanted something that was going to be able to fish where I wanted to fish. And that's, big water is what I love and what's always intrigued me. So I bit the bullet. I drove down to South Carolina. I picked it up, and I think I had that boat for 3 years. And I actually started guiding with that boat. I think I guided for like a month on Green Bay. And then I had one really nasty day out on the bay, and I had one customer just get totally soaked. And it's like, man, I got to upgrade my boat if I'm going to do this for a living. I can't do this. So I ended up selling that boat. I bought a 620 FS. But yeah, long story short, now, four years later, I've been looking for like an older fiberglass boat, like an old 690 or 680. I think I wanted to go 690 originally, but they're all like super overpriced and like crazy. And I knew the kid that everything I sold my boat to. Yeah. And so I got a hold of the kid I sold my boat to. I was like, hey man, like, if you're ever thinking of getting rid of that boat, like, just let me know. Cause I absolutely loved it. Like, it fishes great. It's like the ultimate musky boat. And I wanted a boat, like a backup boat, mainly for like going to fish lakes in Canada that aren't mapped. And that I'm just too scared to take, you know, my big, like, whatever, my guide boat's a brand new 219 Lund, and it's a $120,000-$130,000 boat, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to crash that thing on a rock. I'd much rather buy an older boat, and if I hit something, well, I hit something, it's not going to cost me near as much, and then it's not downtime with my business as well. So I got my old boat back yesterday. I bought it. I got it for an absolute steal again, and I'm going to throw a kicker on it, two Solux 15s, and just have a, I'm rolling now. I'm a high roller. I got two boats.
There you go.
Oh yeah. No, I saw that story. And then you posted a couple photos of, some photos of you fishing out of it back in the day there. And yeah, honestly, you look so happy in that boat. So that's a pretty unreal story though. Like, buying that boat back and just through and through, just full circle. That's pretty sick.
No, the thing is like immaculate. And I know there's a guy, by the name of Doug Johnson, a famous muskie guide on Lake of the Woods. And he has a 2000 205 Triton, and he's owned that boat for whatever it is, 21 years. And I remember seeing him at the dock like 4 years ago, and the boat is originally green, and it was just like sun bleached to almost white. And that dude's put, I don't know how many hours on that boat, but he told me he bought it brand new. And I was like, if that boat can withstand Doug Johnson for 22 years, it's like, that's the hull and transom that I want. So I know I got a super solid boat. I'll probably end up repowering it here next year or something. And it's also a boat I'm just going to let my wife take up. Her parents own a fishing resort. So she fishes out of a 17-foot skiff, like a G3, but she doesn't get to cast when she guides for muskies because she doesn't have enough room for, you know, it's just generally two customers and she doesn't have room to cast. So I told her she can have that boat up there, and then she can fish out of the back. And when she runs her trout stuff or walleye stuff, when she needs to troll or, you know, back troll or have more control, she can run her skiff. But for musky stuff, she can run the Triton, the old white Triton.
So
she's a beauty.
The old white Triton.
No doubt. So I guess kind of going back to when you said, when you're talking about like, it's the ultimate musky boat, what traits are you looking for that kind of makes, I guess, the ultimate musky boat?
Well, and I mean, ultimate musky boat in effect, like, if you're not fishing like big open, like Great Lakes, like a lot of Canadian water, right? You have a lot of islands and there's not, you know, there's a lot more protected stuff. So like I used to fish on that boat on Lake of the Woods, and there's, very few places. I mean, if you get down to the southern part, like down by the Minnesota stuff, you could get in some bad stuff, 4 or 5 footers. But for the most part, like it sits, it's a walleye boat. It's like an early walleye boat. So it's a 2001. So it's not a bass boat, like where it sits super low to the water and you don't have any hull, but it's also like not one of the newer walleye boats where like the things are so deep and so big and so heavy. It's kind of like that happy medium. It's like a old school, like a Ranger 620 VS. Like those old VS Rangers are just freaking sick. They sit, they've got a huge front deck. They're up off the water a little bit, but they're not too high off the water. And it's just a great big platform up front for, you know, two people to fish comfortably. I've got a just in case box built for the back that the kid sold back to me with the boat. So there's just all kinds of deck space, but it's still got the depth in the hull to, you know, take 2-3 footers and you're not, you know, in any kind of scary situation.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. It looked like it had a huge platform, but, okay. So taking a little rewind, you had mentioned that you worked construction before you decided to get into full-time guiding. So like, I mean, whenever we have a guide on here, I feel like we have to always ask this question is like, when did you know that you needed to do this full time? Or when did you know, when was it like, when did it click? Like I can do this full time.
So for me personally, so right out of high school, I went and I did concrete for 2 years. I did some flat work for a guy and I was making like $14 an hour, busting my balls, sweating my ass off.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't want to go to school. I didn't know what I wanted to go to school for. So it's like, I'm just going to go work for a while, make some money, this, that, and the other. And, I was just working for like a little, you know, family owned business. And my dad finally came to me and he's like, all right, like you either need to go back to school and like actually go make some real money, or you need to like get into a real trade, like into a union and like get, be making like some good money. So I decided to get into that stuff. And then, you know, I started at like mid 20s doing sewer and water construction. I did that for 2 years in the laborers union. I did it for 2 years in the operators union, heavy equipment operator. And then I got my journeyman's card, and this whole time, like I was fishing, right? Like once I got my good paying job is when I bought my boat, and I was always fishing, you know, and I mean, social media was whatever. And I always just kind of promoted myself as an angler. But never like as a guide or anything like that. Just post your fishing pictures, right? Like, and so it, everybody does the same thing. So, finally, like I had enough people like with interest into what I was doing on Green Bay that people like, hey man, like I'd like to hire you, or, you know, take you out on a guide trip and this, that, and that. And I had like never even thought of it, you know, or wanted to pursue it. And I was like, okay, like I could maybe get into this. So on Green Bay, we have to have our captain's license. It's a federal waterway. So I took the class, got my captain's license. It was like, I don't know, it was like 30 hours of class time and basically like $1,500. So, I got that done and I was just going to guide in the weekends. Like that was just my plan. I was going to keep my full-time job. I had great benefits. I had insurance. I had a pension. Like I was rocking. I was like, okay, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to guide in the weekends, make some cash, and like life's going to be great. So in 2017, I had like a killer year of muskies. I caught what's still my personal best. I got a 55 incher that summer. I got 53¾. I had an incredible year of fishing. And then the one day in early October, I had a 50¾, a 51, and a 49½, all in one day. And at the time, I was kind of talking to one of the guides up there, is a younger kid, kind of close to my age, Kyle Tsikarski. And I was like, hey, man, like I freaking smoked these fish today. And like, I didn't see a single boat. Like on Green Bay, that's rare. Like there's always boats around. There's always people. So I was like, there wasn't a freaking boat in sight. He's like, man, I haven't caught a fish in 4 days. Like, where the hell are you? So I kind of told him where I was, and I said he was a full-time guide, but he worked for a bigger name guy by the name of Brett Alexander. And he must have told his boss or Brett or whatever. And the next day they came up to the area that I was fishing. And I think Kyle caught like 4 fish with like a 49. And then Brett came up there and he caught one, but it was like 52½ or something. And I think that kind of put me on the radar to his boss. And I'd never talked to him. I knew who he was. He had no clue who I was or whatever, but like 2 weeks later, I get a random message on Facebook and it's Brett. And he's like, hey, I'm looking for a full-time guy next year. Are you interested at all? And I was like, well, shit. Like, I knew what I wanted to say, right? Like, man, I'm in. But like at the same time, like I just finished my apprenticeship. I just got my journeyman's card like 2 months before that or a month before that. Like I was making really good money and things were good. And I was like, well, shit. Like I just put 4 years of work into this apprenticeship and now what am I going to do? Right. So yeah. I'm like, all right, like, let me talk to some people and I'll think about it. And, everybody I talked to was like, dude, like, you got to do it. Like, the only person that was against it was my dad. And, my dad was the one who got me the job, and he got me a job at, like, he worked like in the industry or in that line of work, and like had worked for everybody and got me in with like the company that you want to be with. And he's like, whatever, it's not going to, you know, just stay where you're at, this, that, and the other, you're set, blah, blah, blah. And, well, what did I do? I said, fuck it. Right. And I took the job. Yeah. I took the job. I jumped on it. It was like, and I started in March. I got laid off, which I normally did at Christmas. I got laid off. I came in the day after Christmas, told my company I was leaving in March. And, I've never looked back. So I worked for that guy for 2 years. And now these last 2 years I've been out on my own, and it's just been incredible. It's been absolutely amazing.
Wow.
So it's been 4 years of full-time guiding.
Correct. Yep. Going into my fifth year.
So one thing that I kind of might be connecting the dots here, you said earlier in the interview that you had a cancellation, so you went fishing with buddies, and you say one was Hoyer?
Yeah.
So yep. Is that John?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. So did you meet John through work? Because when we interviewed him for our second interview, he was kind of the exact same story as you, like doing the construction and then eventually got into the guiding.
So I met John through Thorne Brothers, which is a tackle shop in the Twin Cities. And who I didn't mention in my story was Luke Ronestrand. And Luke was a huge influence on me and one who really actually pushed me to pursue guiding. When I was doing construction, even like the part-time stuff, he's like, man, like, you should really look into this and like really give it a shot. And he has been an amazing mentor to me. I can't say enough good things about Luke. And then even my initial start of the industry was a weird way through, my dad's ex-business partner. His brother-in-law was Joe Booker. So that was like a huge in for me to the industry. So it was just a weird thing of like everything just lined up, and it just like, whatever, I kind of blazed my own path, but I had a bunch of people that helped me get to where I was. But yeah, Luke was a big one of those. But yeah, I ended up meeting Hoyer through Luke, through Thorne Brothers and that whole group of guys.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, it's that's super neat how like the stars kind of aligned and right.
Oh yeah.
And I like how too, like, I mean, I'm all for, you know, going for your post-secondary and, you know, getting a good career and stuff like that. But like, there are those people that just don't know what they want to do. And like, you know, they have their 4 years of school or they have 2 degrees and they end up going a completely different path and not even using any of that schooling. So like, you know, going through that apprenticeship program and stuff, like most people, you know, they say, well, I put in the time, I've put in the school, you know, I've paid for this, paid for that. Like, if I stay here, I'm just going to be set and life's going to be good. I mean, I like my job, but I don't love my job. But like, I love hearing those success stories of like guys like yourself that take the risk and, you know what they want and don't just settle. Cause
thing in my life. It's the scariest thing I've ever done.
Exactly.
Like, hands down. Like, quitting my job was the scariest thing I ever did in my life.
Yeah. And see, and like, I talk to so many people, where they're in the same boat, right? But it's that fear level, and some just can't get over that. But I mean, to me, I love seeing that. Like, I'm not there yet. I'm still in the corporate world, right? I'm working my job. I like my job. Don't love my job. Like, it's not something that, you know, I can see myself doing for 50 years, but like, you know, it's paying the bills. But like, do I have an opportunity to go do this? If something pops up, yeah, it's scary. But to me, seeing a guy like you doing that and succeed is just, man, it's a breath of fresh air.
Well, and like I say, like I had a bunch of good people behind me that helped me get to where I was. Like the Booker thing was huge. Luke's thing was huge. My affiliation with Thorne Brothers was huge. And it was just, it was awesome. And it's funny how it just seemed to work out that way. Just so crazy. And like, I'm super happy, and I wouldn't want to be doing anything else. And I'm never looking back, but at the same time, like, I have a lot of people to thank for where I'm at right now.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess like what Brandon said, that you people have the 2 degrees, is that knowledge is never a waste, right? It's never lost. And I was kind of thinking when you were saying you have your dream and you have all this different experience with construction and stuff, all I can think about is I have some friends who own a lodge up north, and I've been to a handful of fly-in lodges as well. And they must love, yeah, like your in-laws must love it when you come up to their camp, right? With all your construction experience. Like that seems to be one of the biggest things, right? Up there is it's always like it's a DIY project that needs to get done for the camp, and they probably love you there, right?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm too useful at the camp, but you know, I can dock some boats and do this or that and the other. But they've got a really good RAN operation, and it's pretty much just need bodies to do stuff here and there. And I mean, half of what I would consider my job is just interacting with the people. I know, like the one night I had a guy come in at 10 o'clock and he just caught his biggest muskie, but his bucktail was all messed up and it wouldn't run right. So I just grabbed all my stuff in the boat to rebuild his bucktail and reshafted his bait. And he was like the happiest guy in the world, 'cause he was like in the middle of Canada and only had one of these lures, and I fixed it for him, and he could fish, yeah, you know, the next 3-4 days of his trip with this bait that he just got his biggest muskie ever on. So it's cool. It's a really cool place. It's a unique place. It's probably the prettiest lake I've been to in Canada. And it's Pipestone is the name of it. And it's just, it's beautiful. Pipestone. Absolutely beautiful.
I think, so Jesse, yep, Baker, that's, yep, your wife, yep, correct? Yeah. I think we talked to Jesse last year, in 2021. I think she said she'd come on the show too. So we'll probably have an episode with her down the road here. But I remember, I don't know if it was for 13 Fishing. I think our next guest is actually Sam Moore.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he did a 13 Fishing, like kind of like a video for social media or an ad, whatever. I think it was called Pipestone.
Yeah, that was with Jesse. So him and Jesse did that.
Yeah. Pipestone Girl or something. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was a super cool video. So, and yeah, it looked absolutely beautiful there. I'm not positive on exactly where that lake is, but it looked unbelievable. No,
Sam can make anything look unbelievable. Like, he's so yeah, talented. Like that kid is just on another level. Incredibly yeah, talented, and he's a good dude. But no, they did a really cool thing, and with some lake trout stuff at the lake, and yeah, they crushed it. That was awesome.
So one of my questions, obviously, right, with the lodge in Canada and then you guiding kind of full time in the States, you do some guiding up on Lake of the Woods and stuff as well in Canada?
Yeah, so the way I have to work it, I guess this year will be different. Now that I'm married, I have to do some paperwork that I can actually guide in Canada. But the way I've always done it before, okay, my guiding on woods, I have to stay on the state side. So I'd be at the Northwest Angle.
Oh, okay.
I'd stay on Oak Island, and then, you know, the border's just a mile to the north. So that way I can do it legally. I just get a work permit and then I can cross the border. I just have to come back to the States every day. But that's
the gotcha.
That's where whole July is on Lake of the Woods. And unfortunately the last 2 years I haven't been able to do it, but this year we're going to be able to do it. I'm super stoked. A bunch of my like video content comes from Lake of the Woods, 'cause it's just such an interactive place. You see so many muskies, so many boat side strikes, and it just makes for like incredible footage.
Yeah. I mean, we've heard so much about Lake of the yeah, Woods. I mean, I'd love to get down there. Basically what I was getting at is I wasn't positive if you were actually fished if you guided on the Canadian side, yep, or not. 'Cause like anybody that's listening, I mean, we have a lot of listeners from the States. But if anybody from Canada say wanted to book a guide trip with you, they could do so on Lake of the Woods on the Canada side.
Yeah. So after this year, like, I mean, I'm booked for this year 'cause I've been having rollovers for 2 years, yep, but in the future, yeah, like, I could definitely do stuff on, you know, 'cause the Canadians won't want to come to the state side to then go back to Canada. Like that makes no sense. I'd be able to just, you know, stay where, yeah, I'm at, or, you know, I've actually got one customer coming up for this year that has a cabin up by Kenora, and I'm actually guiding him on it. I'm staying at, okay, his cabin for 3 days and guiding those guys up there. But, you know, by then I'll be able to have that paperwork done. But being married to a Canadian has its benefits, let me tell you.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, I believe you.
So I guess
no,
that's one thing I was kind of wondering is I wasn't sure if they were American or not. So I guess how did you guys meet?
Oh, I slid in your DMs, let me tell you.
Oh, okay.
No, that was
come on, Logan.
I was in the White Triton. All right, so I hit a rock on my lap.
Okay, so this is basically like your anniversary boat. Sure. Then
no, like this has a story. So I hit it, my only rock I've ever hit on Lake of the Woods, I hit on day two of my 10-day trip. I was up like way north up by Kenora doing some exploring, and I clip a rock and it was just the whatever. The area was mapped super shitty, and I was looking at a boat that was fishing, and all of a sudden I was on top of this hump, and it turned out to be a hittable rock, right? So I clip it, and we're like 30 to 40 miles from where we're at, and I'm like, oh, like what did I just do? Like I am absolutely screwed. I had no kicker on my boat. I couldn't afford a kicker at the time, like, and I just like, I'm so screwed. Well, I like trim it up. It doesn't look that bad. There's a little nick in the skag and like a tiny nick on the prop. Like, okay, like let's see how much vibration's here. And we get up on step. And there's like nothing. We keep going faster and faster. There's like nothing. Like, sweet. Like I got away with one, right? This was on day two. Yeah. So on day eight of my trip, we're ripping back from like 30 miles north up at, like past the Narrows. We're going all the way back down to Flag Island. So it's like an hour run. It's pitch black the whole way. Like we fish till dark up there and we're driving back in the dark. I get like a mile and a half from my buddy's cabin. Like we can see the lights of the cabin. All of a sudden, like poof, my freaking prop shaft on my lower unit breaks right there. Wow. Gone. Like I had fractured it on day two. And over the next 6 days, whatever, it just finally kicked out of me. So long story short, I take my troll motor in. But when my buddy was towing me in to my trailer after our trip, after my 10 days, I don't know what the heck I was doing. I was trolling at one point because it's like a 2 hour tow, right? I know I threw out a rod and I was trolling at one point, and then I was just bored and scrolling through Instagram, and all of a sudden I came across this picture, this blondie with like this big musky. I'm like, whoa, who this, right? I mean, I'm sure her version of this story is different, but I looked at like, it was like right when Instagram started stories. I mean, this was 2017. This was before I was guiding full time. It was August 27th. I remember that. And like, yeah, I clicked on her story or whatever. And she like had her, like her hand was all like ripped up, her gill rake from a muskie. Right. Well, I had just fished in Canada for 10 days and caught like 20 some muskies. So my hand was just like hamburger. So I like thought I was cool or whatever. And like take a picture of my hand and like send it back to her and make some, I can't tell you what I said. I have no idea what I said, but I'm sure it was some stupid freaking comment. And she got back to me, and it was like, whoa, all right. And then we just like kept DMing back and forth. Well, I talked to her for like 6 months before we actually ended up meeting.
Just kept sending hand pictures back and forth.
So we went back and forth on Instagram for 6 months. And then in February, I met her at a sports show for her parents' resort in Chicago. I lived only, you know, 2.5 hours from there. So like we talked every day for 6 months, and I met her there. And then the next year when I started guiding, I went up to Lake of the Woods, and she actually came over and fished for 4 days. And we fished, and fishing was terrible. I think she caught like two fish. I think I caught one. And then my customer for the next 4 days canceled like last minute at like a family emergency. And I ended up going, she like invited me back to her parents' resort on Pipestone. So we went back there for 4 days. And at one point during the whole situation, like I formally like whatever asked her to out her to be my girlfriend officially or whatever. And it was like on our last day, and she's like, all right, well, if you can catch a muskie today, she's like, I'll be your girlfriend. So like, come on, like this is what I do best, right? Like I got this. The pressure was on. Like I was freaking head over heels for this girl. And like fourth spot of the day, I catch like a 37 incher, and she's like, oh no, like that don't count. That's not. I'm like, what do you mean that doesn't count? Like there was, you can't just make up the rules as we go, right? So
you need a 40, I was like, 40 plus.
Where did this come from? So next spot, I have like a 43 incher come in hot on a figure eight. Can't get it to go. I'm like, great. Like the window's over. Like I caught the one fish. Like it's over. Like I'm screwed. We go around the corner, and she's like, I've been seeing a nice fish here. Like I was totally getting guided. Like totally. So we go around the corner. She's like, I've been seeing a fish here, and it's like the dumbest spot I've ever seen. It's just like a straight rock wall. Like there's zero feature to it. Like I would never stop and fish this spot. She's like, I've been seeing a big one here. And my last cast in the spot, I bomb out like towards this tree that was like way out of the boat. And I just get slammed, and it's like a 46 and a half incher. And that's it.
There you go.
Got her.
The phone fell over. Yeah. But that's how I started dating the one and only Jesse Baker. And we got married last year in July.
There you go.
That is quite the lot.
I like there's many stories like that.
I just tell people about slitting the DMs. That's it.
Yeah. You know what though? It's so common these days, like even, you know, talking like Jay Siemens and like, oh, how are you and Sam meet?
A photo shoot.
You know, this social media. I think she slid into his DMs, he said, or you know what I mean? But like, it's just like so common. Like, Logan, when you asked that, I was like, I bet you, in my head, I'm just like, oh, they probably slid into each other's DMs. And then that's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that. I'm just clueless, apparently.
I sound way more sly than I am. Like, I used to have game. I have zero game anymore.
No, you don't need it anyways.
Well, and then it just happened too, right? That, you know, her family had a fishing lodge. Oh, yeah. You know, like, just all worked out perfectly. So.
And just fishing, like, we fish everywhere we go. Like, we both have a huge passion for fishing. And she's really, like, really freaking good at it. That's, yeah. And if you guys ever have Hoyer, Hoyer on the show again, you start busting his balls, asking him how bad Jesse Baker outfished him on Green Bay for walleyes.
Oh, he would, you know what? He wouldn't even deny it.
The funny thing is, like, it was so bad. Like, she kicks my ass walleye fishing all the time. Like, that girl with a rip and wrap is deadly, man. Absolutely deadly.
Yeah.
Like, she has got it down. And me, her, and John fished for 2 days during COVID because all my trips canceled. Whatever, I couldn't guide legally. So I just started fishing with some buddies, and John came over for 2 days. And we went fishing, and I think in 2 days, Jess had like 43 fish, and Hoyer had like 6.
Wow.
She smoked them. And that was the year after John won the Green Bay tournament on a rip and wrap. Like, he won $100,000 on Green Bay. So there is some significant, she is super competitive, and she will talk shit nonstop. So she let him have it.
Yeah. Honestly, I thoroughly enjoy like following along on like Jesse's Instagram stories and stuff. Like, she's always got like a little bit of wit to her, and she's just like, seems like honestly, like just a good person.
Yeah, she's
too,
way too good for me. I'm way outkicked with coverage.
Well, I'm looking forward to hopefully having her on the show too. And see what she has to say about this story. Let's see if your stories align. We'll make sure she doesn't listen to this episode, and then we'll see if the stories line up.
I'm telling, mine's the truth. I don't care what she says.
Well, we hope you guys enjoyed part one of the interview with Doug. Something I found very interesting. It's crazy how, well, obviously dialed he is being a guide, but you always hear out here in Saskatchewan where we don't have muskies, how it's the fish of 10,000 casts. And I know Doug definitely puts in the time. He's talked about with us like 16-hour days when he's guiding and stuff like that. So definitely puts in the work. But the number of fish that he's able to put boat side is ridiculous, eh?
Oh, man, it's unbelievable. Like, even if you go hop over to his Instagram, it's just nonstop, massive, massive muskies and walleye and lake trout and whatnot. But, right, muskies, his favorite species to guide and chase. So, obviously, rightfully so, his Instagram is just piled with huge muskies.
Yeah, for sure. And I think we're just going to keep this one short since we will have part two coming probably in about, I guess it'll be a normal time frame, two weeks from now. But I just wanted to make quick mention of 13 Fishing. Definitely right now is the prime time when I'm using lots of my 13 Fishing stuff, ice fishing. Kind of we're getting into the slower months, but it's a good time to start getting ready for March Madness, eh?
Yes, absolutely. So for me, when it comes late season and I'm transitioning to a little bit more pike fishing, man, those the Widowmaker Trout Series rods are phenomenal for pike fishing. I mean, you can get, I think, a 38 or a 42 medium heavy. They're reinforced guides, larger guides, so they don't ice up. Handles are unbelievable. They're an extended cork handle. I know a few guys that have them and absolutely love them. Another great option if you're looking for a big pike fishing rod is the Omen series that comes in a medium heavy with the oversized guides as well. So go check into the Omen and the Widowmaker Lake Trout Edition rods if you're looking for some big pike fishing rods.
Yeah, for sure. And then if you are going to do that, why not use our code Weekend Warriors? Save yourself 15% off of the entire 13 Fishing website. I mean, if you're buying stuff, you may as well save some money, right? I'll definitely actually picked up one of those Widowmakers as well. I'll be running that on the iFish Pro, so really looking forward to that.
That's a deadly combo. Yeah. iFish Pro.
Oh, yeah.
Widowmaker Trout
Bay
Series.
Runner reel.
Yep, for sure. Oh, yeah. All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate you, everything you did in 2021 for us, and we look forward to continue providing you with fishing entertainment and information from special guests across the industry.
Thanks for tuning in to the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to leave a review on your favorite listening platform so we can reach more anglers just like you. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for media updates and behind-the-scenes content.